Please join me in a prayer for understanding of God's Word. Come, Holy Spirit, and Word of God, as the breath of life amidst your people gathered here, into our hearts and minds. Stir us to know the happiness of your life. Amen. Now, you can be seated. Now it gives me great pleasure to turn this over to a lady I met about a year and a half ago. She showed up one day in a Bible class and said to the pastor, "You know what? I'm looking for a church. And by God, look what she's doing now." I think God would like us to welcome her. Let's put our hands together.
Well, I wasn't scared until just a second ago. So here we are. I'm taking a class. I have it all written down. So, some of you heard two very accomplished preachers before you heard me last week and the week before. And since I know you, I am taking kind of a risk here, but I'm going to try my preaching skills out because I'm taking a class. I'm a candidate for the Certified Lay Ministry, and I have in my worship team, Dr. Vasher, and Cheryl Sevier, and Pastor Neal. So the only one I'm going to be able to see is Dr. Vasher, so if I go a little too long and he does this, that's no sign I'm going to cut it off. That just means he's made the motion. And I do want to thank them very much because I couldn't do this without them. They've kept me focused, and they've kept me on track. Please pray with me and for me. Gracious God, creator of the universe and sustainer of life, as we gather this morning to worship you, be with us as we hear your word. I pray that I may say the things that will glorify your name while giving hope to the listeners. In the name of the risen Savior, amen. My reading today comes from Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." In the Message, Eugene Peterson says, translates 37 through 39, as Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But the second is to set alongside it, love others as well as you love yourself." Peterson then calls them the pegs on which everything in God's law and prophets hang. But what does it look like to love God? We think of the heart as the place where emotions dwell, where love grows. I mean, after all, Hallmark puts hearts on cards expressing love, romantic, passionate love. You don't see too many hearts on just friends cards. Hearts symbolize love. I heart New York. I heart something else. Bumper stickers let the world know what you really love. We feel heart sick when something goes wrong in our lives, perhaps a death, a betrayal. Our hearts, they're filled with joy when we have good news to share, the birth of a child or a grandchild, promotion or a new job, or just perhaps getting a job. Passion, love, heart. For us, the soul is a place where we have our other prayerful self. People see our bodies, but they hardly ever see our soul. The other part of us that no one sees. This is where we keep our secrets, where our hidden desires are held. The soul is that part we do not share with the world, and sometimes we even try to hide secrets from ourselves. This is the part that does not have words to express our longings, our needs, our hurts, our pains, or our pleasures. However, this is the part that God sees. This is the real us. The mind is our thinking, reasoning, intelligent part. We can look at thoughts, ideas, and concepts, and we can make decisions. Our mind holds memories of the past and hopes for the future. The mind can see, feel, reason, and understand complex or simple ideas. In the Hebrew tradition, that tradition that gave us Deuteronomy 6:5, and the verse that Jesus references is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And in that ancient Hebrew tradition, the heart was the place where decisions were made, where emotions felt, thinking done, and where secrets are hidden and the source of all desire. The soul is the place where decisions are made, emotions felt, thinking done, where secrets are hidden, and the source of all desire. And the mind is, can you guess? It's the place where you think, decide, hide, feel, and desire. So the point is, love God with all you have. Love God in the morning when the day holds promise. Love God in times of good when it's easy to love God and feel His love for you. Love God when it hurts because you don't know where He is or when He's coming back. Love God in those days of dark despair or days of anger and questioning. Love God all the time, when you feel like He is with you and when you feel alone. But what does it look like to love yourself? Now, there are some people who love themselves a little too much, and there are people who don't love themselves at all. Now, I'm not going there because they have problems I can't address. But let's look at what most of us are, because even in self-hate and self-love, these facts are true. You take care of yourself. When you're hungry, you look for something to eat. You might be thinking about that lunch afterwards. I'm thinking about it because I'm going to go to the ushers training. I'm thinking about it. You want to be warm or cool when you're hot or when you're too cold. And I always carry a shawl in my purse because the air conditioning in some places, like this place, can be a little too efficient. We need clothes to protect ourselves from the sun and the elements. So we want our climate comfy. We couldn't live here if it weren't. So you want protection from the elements? I don't camp out because I've been wet too many times in a waterproof tent. I don't want to be wet and muddy. I don't like it. But there are some who do like it. Good for you. I want shelter. But when I see people living in a refugee camp in a far-off land, I feel compassion for those people, those neighbors, my neighbors. I can hardly conceive how they can live there wet, cold, with very primitive shelter day after day, without much hope of life getting better. You want someone to love you. You want purpose in life. People are programmed to want human interaction. We want hugs and physical touch. We are not isolated creatures. A little quiet time is a good thing. An extended solitary life is not. God loves us all the time, wherever we happen to be. These are not evil desires. These are God-given desires. They protect us from harm by keeping us healthy and alive. Alive another day to live for God and to have God love us. Now, here's the tricky one. What does it look like to love your neighbor. And who is our neighbor? The second commandment is just like the first. Love God with all you have. Not less than, but equal to, as the Message put it, set alongside. Love your neighbor or others as yourself. My neighbor and your neighbor is not necessarily the person living next door or even in the same block. The parable of the Good Samaritan taught us every person in the world is a neighbor. We want people fed because we get hungry. We want people clothed and protected because we want to be clothed and protected. That's the very least we want for others, our neighbors, because that's what we want and what we need. When we feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the prisoner, we also feed, refresh, clothe, care, and visit Christ Himself, as He clearly stated in Matthew 25:35-46. We give to the food bank so others can eat. We give our gently used clothing to thrift stores so others can be clothed. We give our time and money to support these and other groups. We visit the sick, send cards, or cook a meal. We advocate for those in prison by wanting them to be treated with dignity. Another way to show love for neighbor is witnessing our love for God by telling our story to our neighbors. Sharing our good news of the love God has shown for us. Sharing the powerful love He has for the world. Whether you know it or whether you even want to, we are witnessing our love for God. Our actions to others, our conversation, our habits are witnesses to our love for God. How strong is my love, your love? All of these activities become the visible expression of our love for both God and for God's love for us. And the world sees. The golden rule found in Matthew 7:12 tells us to do unto others as we would want them to do unto us. Well, that's simple enough. But remember, Jesus was the master of making the complex sound simple. It's easy to love the whole world. I give to imagine no malaria, because I don't want my friends in Africa, my neighbors in Africa, to have malaria. So those mosquito nets help them. I don't want to have malaria. I don't want you to have it. I don't want them to have it. It's easy, very easy, to love that far-off neighbor, that neighbor in Liberia, that neighbor in Haiti or South America. But is it easy to love the poor and that homeless beggar you see on the corner of 16th and I-8? How did you respond to the child? How do you respond to the child who sits hungry in school? Through no fault of his own, perhaps his parents make poor choices or choices that are illegal. Do you love the kid who stayed in Central America but hated them when they fled violence to come to here, the greatest country in the greatest Christian country in the world? How do you feel about that neighbor who's hurt your feelings or ignored you? What about that neighbor who simply will not live up to your expectation of proper and correct? It is not always easy to love the person with whom you have frequent contact. I have a fellow neighbor in my neighborhood I do not like. I have a hard time loving her. However, I do pray for her every day. It's hard for me to separate love from like. You don't have to be friends with that person, but you need to be their brother or sister. There are others to whom I need to show more Christ-like love. In John 13:34, Jesus says that he has left us a new commandment, to love each other as he loved us. He continues to love us. So my invitation, and this is a very short one, I was afraid it was going to be too long. I don't see any cutoffs. So it's short. We'll get you out early for lunch. So my invitation to you is to reflect on the basics of this lesson. Love God, love your neighbor. And then how do you show that love to God? How do you show love to yourself? How do you show love to your neighbor? That same love and that you show for yourself. Do you do that? How do you show your love to God through your actions to others? Do you witness? Do you share the good news? Do you help the needy? How's your prayer life when it comes to those less fortunate? How is your attitude to those with whom you have a personal relationship? Those whom you see in your real everyday life. Is it different? Is it the same? And finally, do you reflect the love God has for you back to the world? Please join with me for a moment of reflection.